Welcome.
I cracked my neck.
Oh, gross. Welcome back to Only Stands.
Welcome. Hello again.
I love your sexy robot voice.
Did I do it just now, or should I try?
Like, your sexy voice kind of sounds like, what's her name? Georgia Jetson? What was the robot's name? Judy?
Does it really?
Rosie Jetson.
Rosie.
Yeah, you're serving a little bit of Rosie Jetson. But Jane, we love that.
His wife. Thanks.
Well, welcome back to another very special episode of Only Stands. Dry January is over, so she's a little drunk, as she should be.
Yeah, good for you.
Did you do that, or was I the only one?
I did. I broke it on Friday night, but I had a messy Friday night, and then I just haven't drank. I think I lost my craving, my alcohol appetite.
I wish I could say the same. What does that say about me? I was like so happy that I'm allowed to have alcohol in my fridge again.
Well, yeah, welcome back to Only Stands. We're two homosexuals with taste talk pop culture and the ins and outs of the music industry and all of its fuckery from the standpoint of view, because other girls aren't doing it. Like, we got it, and they don't got it.
That's, yeah.
Well, I got it. Okay, so have you seen the Dancing with a Stranger music video? And Sam Smith is just like standing there looking like sad and morose, and Normani comes in with a dance and hits like 47 extra beats that aren't really there.
That's the story of Normani's career.
I'm that. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Like, I associate Normani in my head with that video of all the Fifth Harmony girls doing work from home, and it's like, you can't hear the music, and you just see the other five, or the other four, however many, like, you know, just, like, waving their hands around, and Normani comes in, and she's like, you gotta go to work.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
accurate.
That's
why she deserves the world.
Well, I am the one, the only, the white man's whore, Megan the Stallion. But okay, honestly, who isn't the white man's whore? Not for G-Eazy, though, I'll tell you that much.
I'm not. I don't know a single white man.
Me neither. Never met one. Never smelled one.
That's a lie. I know several. And if you're listening right now,
I have no regrets.
Well, I love some of you.
Y'all fine. Not that fine, though. But that leads us right into speaking our first headline.
Wait, speaking of white man's whore, can we talk about Zendaya's white man?
Okay, she's...
And then compare him to Megan's white man?
Yeah, she did it writer. That's a word, writer. Yeah. Like, more right.
Zendaya's dating Jacob Elordis. Elordis?
I think it's just Elordi.
The Australian. The Elordi, the Australian from Euphoria. I saw him in the Calvin Klein ad. He was in a giant Calvin Klein ad in his underwear on the side of a building that I drive by every day, and I screamed. Zendaya, good for you, because you got a good white man.
Yeah, he looks like the type to be in his underwear. And honestly, it shouldn't, but the whole, like, angry, closeted jock, like, sociopath beating the fuck out of people thing, like, definitely... I tingled a little bit the first time I saw him.
Ew. Love yourself.
Honestly, there's just something about, and he has such a like deep voice too, and he's like so angry at the world.
There's something about emotional and physical abuse. Really does it for me.
Okay. You said it, but compare that to,
I was imitating you.
I will neither confirm nor deny. But anyways, if you don't know what we're comparing to, Megan Thee Stallion made some headlines for getting real cozy with one Gerald Easy.
Ew.
Isn't his name Gerald?
Is that really his first name?
I think so. It's either Gerald or, like, I was going to say Gertrude. It's not Gertrude. That's the only Geralt. Other G name that I can think of. Or maybe it's like just Geralt Jared. Better. Oh, no, it's Gerald.
It can only be Jared.
Yeah, well, okay, Gerald Easy is too close to our stallion. And I just... This just upsets me a lot for a lot of reasons. I just want him to...
I mean, she's, like, thoughting around, so I'm like, good for her. Like, get it out. Do and literally do whoever you want. But just, like, Zendaya did it correctly. Like, if you're going to date a white man, date a really good one.
Well, I just think G-Eazy looks kind of... He just looks a little skeezy and...
Like, he just, like, smells a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like, he just... He's a little, like, a little oily, you know? Like, yeah. He needs to cleanse better and... Also, you know, I think Halsey called him abusive, so I'm not with anyone who, I don't find abusive.
Did you see that video? Abuse attractive. But you did with the other Australian hot boy from
That
Victoria.
Was excellent acting. This is real life.
Okay. Did you see that video of Halsey? At her concert, like, someone in the background is only like, G-Eazy, and she's like, she like, snaps
oh, yes.
around in the middle of her song, and she's like, stop fucking talking about G-Eazy, do you want to get kicked out? Do you want to go?
She channeled every ounce of that 25% black into that. Meanwhile, Megan was channeling the spirit of Tamara Mowry. But I just...
They call me. White man's whore.
And not like Megan's a whore either, because, you know, this is her hot girl's late winter, and I won't fault her that. I just want her to do better.
Yes.
I don't know what white man I'd be happy to see her with, but not this one.
Megan, just, like, just make sure he's not out here calling you chocolate sauce, and if you're getting the white man's dick... It better be good. That's all I'm saying. So just, like, I hope she's, like, making good judgments, taking care of herself.
I mean, correction, cock. If it's a white man, it's Ew. Cock.
No, we don't say cock here.
Megan does be saying cock.
She does, but she I don't like us. It. We didn't see the signs. Britney Spears. What's going on?
God rest her soul.
Ah, no. She's alive and well. Well, we think.
I just don't think her soul is there.
Ah. The Britney stans are coming after you. Like, they All will three. Find this. They, like, they have Google. They have Google alerts on, like, audio. They will find it.
Is that a thing? Yes. Stream Only Stans podcast. Follow us on Twitter.
Okay, so I went to a Britney pop-up experience called The Zone in LA last week, and the pictures were really cute. It was a pretty, like, massive production. Basically, like, you walked in, and they had, like, 10 different setups for different music videos. So, like, the first one was, like, Baby One More Time, and they had, like, a whole classroom set up. And the teacher from the original music video is like, welcome to the Britney The Zone experience, and she, like, breaks down the rules. And then you walk out of the classroom, and it's, like, a full gym, and it's, like, Britney high, and you can, like, pose on the bleachers, and, like... Do all this Britney stuff, and then you go into the next room, and it's like Toxic, like the,
yeah, the, like airplane? The
airplane cabin from Toxic. Yeah. There's like, they had like a whole Me Against the Music setup with like the swing, and then they had like
Madonna,
you know, like in the music video. Yeah. Madonna was there. She was literally held captive.
Madonna was passing out hors d'oeuvres.
You know that like moment in the Me Against the Music where Madonna and Britney are like dancing off against each other?
Yes.
Yeah, so they Classic. Had a video booth set up where, like, you stand on one side of the wall and you, like, can pretend like you're dancing off against Britney, and then the video thing will compile it, so you have, like, a legit, like, video of you dancing off against Britney.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and then they had, like, a room that was, like, a jungle from, like, the snake performance, and so they had, like, a giant, like, 30-foot snake along this hanging from the ceiling, and like a it was crazy. It was like a massive production, and it was
do
really
you
want cool, to
know the
really
only
well
Britney fun fact that I know?
What is it?
That snake's name was Banana.
Oh, that's cute. I think I knew that. That's so cute.
Oh, it's so fun if you already knew it.
I think I read that somewhere randomly. I told you what's Britney's snake's name?
The only thing that I have ever known about Britney Spears.
That's very possible.
Just kidding. I love Femme Fatale.
This like newscaster girl was there when I was there, and she was like, "What's your favorite Britney song?" And I was like, The circus era was really formative for me, and she looked at me like I was stupid.
What?
And then,
the correct answer is everything from Blackout.
That's what I was like. The circus era was very formative for me.
Yeah. Well, circus came right after Blackout.
Yeah. And then I went back and I was like, but I also liked Lucky, because she looked at me like I was dumb. So I was like, I liked Lucky.
But I mean, like circus and Blackout were like basically extensions of the same era, because Radar was on both of them.
Was on both, and it slapped both times.
It sure did. She was like, you bitches didn't bop to this hard enough the first time, so here it goes again. And that's that. It was
so good. I have a Best of Britney playlist, and Radar is on there twice. Like it deserves to be.
As it should be.
So but basically, we're...
was the like purpose of this exhibit just to like remind people that Britney exists?
Yeah, just to publicly stand and like make some money off of you, which I mean, yeah, because the tickets were like $60. Oh, I didn't have to pay.
There was money involved. Okay.
Yeah,
it couldn't be me.
But yeah, basically, so I posted some images of that on Instagram, and her stands, a select few stands, got really mad at me, and one called me a tired ass faggot, and.
Wait. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at her. Woo. All right. I have tears in my eyes. Tell me more, tired. Okay. Well, faggot.
Rude.
Wait. Why did they come for you like that? These
Britney stans were mad. Because of hashtag Free Britney. They're arduent. Is that a word?
Ardent, I think, is what you're looking for. You're combining arduous and ardent.
Yes, ardent. Ardent supporters of the hashtag Free Britney movement, which, if you don't know, how do I tell this very quickly? Britney Spears, since she had her breakdown in 2007 or 2008, has been in a conservatorship where basically her dad and a lawyer... Like all manage her legal all decisions. Her finances, every single thing she did, basically. It's now, 12, 13 years later, and they still have it over her. And some of her fans are very concerned that she does not have control over her life. But we don't really know, because all we're really getting from her is, like, from social media. So we don't really know if she's, like, okay or not. But some of her fans are very convinced that she's not. And
we should ask that that little 22-year-old boyfriend she has.
Oh yeah, he's so hot.
Yeah,
22.
I don't know how old he actually is. I just know he is significantly younger than her, which is how great is for her.
To have that body at 22, wow, I'd be unstoppable. But so basically, these hashtag Free Britney stans came after me because they believed that by going to this exhibit and or writing about it or paying money, that I am showing support for the family. So conservatorship, Britney is trying to get out of it legally, and she has to go to court to like appeal it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like ongoing court cases, and so people believe that this pop-up is giving money to her family and showing support for the family.
Oh.
And that is in direct opposition of what Britney is trying to get out of.
Oh, that's sad.
So I mean, but it's like hard to say because we don't know how true that is. We don't know all the facts. We don't really know what's going on. Like Britney has spoken out and been like, this is not happening. But it's also like all on an Instagram caption where the video was like, hey fans, I'll be back soon. So it's like, is this like really her talking, or is this her social media team was like, hey, can you record a video for your fans? And then they posted this long ass caption about how so-and-so is lying, you know? Like, we don't really know.
Right.
And so it's hard to say.
And you can't really know. I mean, but also, yeah. I don't think, I mean, not like we don't deserve to know, but there's probably a lot of that story that we don't know. You know,
we don't know. We have no idea.
It's hard to say if, you know, who's right or wrong. I mean, obviously, if she's a grown woman in her right mind, she should probably be in control of her own legal situations and finances and whatnot, regardless of, you know, prior periods of mental illness or whatever the case is, if she's in a good place now. Because, I mean, like, if she wasn't Britney Spears, you know, she would be perfectly fine. You know, I mean, who's to say anything about her mental health? But, I mean, if she wasn't Britney Spears,
exactly,
she wouldn't be under a conservatorship because she would just be free to do her own shit. So,
yeah, and we have no idea what her actual mental health is like. Like, didn't she go to rehab a couple years ago? And we don't really know why. Yeah, I'm pretty sure in 2017 or 2018 she went to rehab. So there's just like a lot that we don't know, and it's hard to say. And it's hard to, like, even for me at least, it's hard to be on a side because I have no idea. Like, I don't know this family. I don't know anything about them.
Well, I'm sure the Britney stans out there are more than happy to send several.
Please no more. Please don't send any more hate tweets. No more tired ass faggot. It's so rude.
They
so
will
nasty.
Send you the receipts so in a heartbeat.
Oh my god, I was so shocked. I woke up like 7:30 a.m. looked at my phone and I had like 8 notifications from stans.
Don't you love that feeling?
No.
I remember the last time I accidentally said something slightly off kilter about Beyonce.
Oh.
It was like,
wait, what did
you
say?
2 years ago. I don't even remember. I think I said something about, it was something about that one wig. You know what wig I'm talking about, too, with the bangs?
No. Oh, the bangs. Yeah. Oh, we try to forget that one.
Yeah, but, you know, they've...
See, this is why you got dragged. You deserved it.
I did. I most of the time, I do. I mean, it honestly, if you just wanted to drag me just because it's Tuesday, that's completely valid in most situations, but... I mean, speaking of mental health and wellness...
Yeah, slightly off kilter.
Azealia Banks had a lot to say in the press the other day.
What's good?
Honestly, Azealia Banks is my absolute favorite character to come out of the 21st century. Like, there is no one who is more fun to discuss, who is more exciting to keep up with than Azealia Banks. And
for some,
you know, she's been up to some real good stuff. You know, she had that movie on Netflix like a year or two ago.
Which one?
It was the one that the homeboy from Wu-Tang Clan directed it, RZA. And she starred in the, you, because you remember that whole thing when Russell Crowe like spat on her at a party?
Yes.
Okay, it was because of that movie. Or, like, it had something to do with
that
movie. It was so bad that Russell Crowe just had to spit on her. But, no, it was, I think, because RZA, like, took her to Russell Crowe's party, and they got it. Anyways, she's been doing great for herself. She's an actress.
Sure. Some would say.
She is auditioning for Euphoria. She's coming for Zendaya's White Man. And... more importantly, she is still a practicing witch and has released a very interesting list of predictions for the 2020 decade. I'll name you some of my favorites here. And make sure you're taking all these very seriously because it's Azealia Banks and she is a witch, as we know from those chickens she showed us that she killed in her closet. First up, Kim and Kanye are getting divorced in 2026. We love to see it. North and South Korea are going to finally unite in 2027. Korean society is going to produce Asia's answer to Elon Musk. I don't know what that means, but given her sordid sexual history with Elon Musk, I think she's probably very excited for that one. Beyonce and Jay-Z begin an open relationship in 2024. That is what I'm most excited about.
This is...
And then in 2026...
Nonsense.
She said... See, this one, I don't know what it means. She said, Beyonce beats Gwyneth Paltrow and Kim Kardashian in the race to become America's next Martha Stewart in 2026. Now... What has Martha Stewart contributed to America?
Cooking shows?
That's
if that Beyonce, one but Beyonce can't cook. Beyonce can't cook. We know that.
She said that's
accurate. So that is false. So what is...
Oh, here's another
Beyonce
good one.
Beyonce doing...
Naomi Campbell is going to marry into British royalty with a much younger dude and give birth to a royal child. In 2025.
She said Meghan Markle killed in car crash. This is
no, but that's,
of the devil.
No, that's Princess Diana tease. It's important. She
I don't like
her
this.
Mind. And then, most importantly of all, Beyonce divorces Jay-Z in 2026.
All this divorce.
What does that look
and
like?
And at the bottom is cure for Parkinson's disease. I'm so annoyed that we even just you forced me to read this.
These are extremely important, okay? Like, one day you will look back on this and say, wow, Azalea the Oracle really did that.
The only one I like is Elizabeth Warren wins 2020 election. That's the only one I like. Because, yes, please vote for Elizabeth Warren so she can Control-Alt-Delete all of our student loans. I am in debt.
Aren't you so excited for Beyonce and Jay-Z's open relationship?
No.
Just picture what that looks like. That's or like how's gonna we be even out here fucking
Beyonce? No. I have heard this is some LA maybe I shouldn't say this.
Oh.
Okay. These are rumors, obviously. Rumors of rumors are rumors. The rumor is that John Legend and Chrissy Teigen have an open relationship and John Legend is out here bottoming.
Oh, I'm on the next flight.
But I won't say for who. I won't say for who because that might be... I don't know how accurate this is. But if John Legend is a bottom...
Oh, I mean, we knew that. He bottoms for Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, I love that. I love that aesthetic.
You know she got a big strap. But...
How big?
You know what? Probably not that big. Just like, I bet probably like a solid like 6 inches like... Husband's okay. Eyes.
Okay. That sounds nice.
Reasonable, yeah.
Oh, good for them. Yeah,
that's why they've got such marital bliss, you know? You can't be that happy in your marriage without getting pegged.
Oh, good for them.
Just facts.
I'll peg both of them.
Well, let's celebrate that.
If they need a third, Chrissy, if you're listening and you need a third, I am ready and willing.
Let me know. I'll pass on her, but if John Legend's out here bottoming, I'm on the next flight to LA. So Taylor Swift had a documentary.
We gotta get sidetracked. Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Miss Americana, now on Netflix. And it wasn't terrible. I think I was mostly just shocked that I got all the way through it. Because I will confess, I enjoyed Taylor Swift's music. I'm at a place in my life where I feel comfortable admitting that now. But she annoys the fuck out of me. And I'm one of those people that she cried about in the movie, you know, hurting her feelings. But like, I think she made some good counterpoints to the things that I thought about her. It was all about her desperate need for approval, which I both can relate to and also find a little annoying, but I knew it already, so I'm glad that she confirmed it. But I think I did come away from it with a little bit of a slightly softer spot for her now. I think mostly it really showcased her songwriting, which I appreciated, because as an artist she's fucking cool. Like,
yeah. First of all, I think this documentary committed the cardinal sin of being boring.
Yes.
It was a struggle for me to watch. It was, I paused it several times to like go get food. Like I I was leaving to go to a thing Pokemon and then like came back the next day and watched the next 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes of it. Like it was just like, it was slow. I think it was for like stands, which I am not a part. I am like, okay, because Taylor Swift is obviously a part of, basically, if you listen to music, like Taylor Swift has been a part of your life at one point or another. Like,
right.
She, it's like over a decade of songs. Like I remember hearing fucking Teardrops on My Guitar in high school. I didn't stand till Love Story, and then it kind of, after the Kanye drama, I kind of dialed it back because I saw the crazy peeking out. But see, I mean, I still very much enjoy her music.
I never even featured her until basically 1989 came out, and I was like, okay, this bitch knows how to write a pop song. I'm invested now.
Oh, you didn't? I liked Red.
I thought Red was solid, but I thought Red was solid as like a country fan, and I didn't like the pop parts of it, like the fucking... the dubstep light thing that she tried to do.
That song was fun. I wasn't with that. But a mess. That song was fun, but you remember that like long-ass Rihanna-esque monologue she had in the middle of I Knew You Were Trouble?
What does that have to do with like, Rihanna? Leave her out of this.
Because Rihanna just did that monologue in, was that We Found Love?
Oh, in the music video.
Yeah, and then a month later, Taylor Swift did that same thing in I Knew You Were Trouble, but she was like... I knew I couldn't date. Like, it was so, like, high school juvenile compared to Rihanna's, like, deep ass. Oh, it was just such a clear... But, I mean, besides that, I think that album was great. All Too Well. We Are Never Getting All Back Too Together. Well, iconic song.
I will go to my grave fighting for All Too Well as the best Taylor Swift song.
I really liked Red.
Yeah, Red, Red was solid from a country perspective. But I still... I like country. So, I mean, I'm not too proud to admit that.
And I mean, We Are Never Getting Back Together was definitely a pop song. And so was
I didn't like it. But then when she learned to write a pop song, when she linked up with Max Martin, the Magic Man.
That is, she had pop songs. You Belong With Me is the, like, it's a country song, but it is such a pop song. She literally edited it for pop radio.
Okay, but it was so corny that I just could never get behind it.
Oh, I loved it. I think that was her charm back then, that it was corny. Also, that was country. But yeah, it was corny. So that was the charm. It was like, oh, high school emotions and romance and fuck that bitch. You should love me. That's a very high school feeling.
Yeah, she wears short skirts. I wear T-skirts.
Yeah, which she tries to recapture sometimes at her grown-ass 30-year-old age. And it's like, girl, Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince, like slamming lockers and shit. It doesn't work anymore. But it's
cute. I thought that song was cute, but also I appreciated,
I like that song, but I mean, it just doesn't work.
Like, you know, because she's always been, I think, more than anything else, and what she tries to downplay about herself is that she's a fucking shark in a good way. Like, you know, she's the type of person who, and you saw that in like the documentary a lot, you know, she had those home video clips of her being like 12, 13 years old and telling the song or telling the crowd at her shows, you know, go dial this radio station and tell them you want to hear Taylor Swift. You know, like, she has known what she wanted for a very long time. She's known how to get there, and she's been successful in achieving based on, you know, the structure she had around her and kind of
using
her existing privilege to elevate herself.
I thought that was really humbling. I thought the beginnings of Taylor Swift, that was really interesting for me. It began to lose me around, like, the... Okay, so that was interesting. The Kanye West drama, Kanye snatching the mic.
I didn't realize she was 17 years old when that happened.
Yeah, she was still really young. But she says that... I think it was interesting that she said that she thought when Kanye sat down...
That they were booing her.
The crowd was booing her.
Yeah.
Which also, like, explains maybe why that was so formative in her head, why that became such a big moment. Because, like, the whole thing said, basically, like, she was a people pleaser and lived for people's applause. And when she thought everyone was booing her, it, like, triggered something in her brain. That's why she became literally obsessed with him, you know?
And she spent the rest of her career chasing that approval that she felt like she lost in that moment.
And but that's where it gets unattractive to me.
Well, I mean, because that's where the shark comes out.
I think it almost like stunted her growth as a person. And it's also hard because it's like she is this white woman with privilege, with money, with an icon, like growing icon status at that time.
Mm-hmm.
where she doesn't have to think about. And that's where it was bothering me. Like, she didn't have to think about politics. She, when the second Kanye drama happened with Famous and she got caught, she did get caught in a lie. Let's also break that down.
I don't think there's anything to break down because we know. We all saw it.
But not everyone knows.
Kimberly brought the receipts.
So Kanye West had the song Famous. He said, if I'm being honest, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? Because I made that bitch famous. So when Kanye, and we all know that because that's, how do we explain this drama? But basically, Kanye only showed the part to her that said, I feel like me and Taylor still might have sex. And he didn't show her the part where he said, I made that bitch famous. But Taylor Swift said that she had never heard any of it. And that she would never approve it. And so when that video came out, it made her look like a liar because she did lie. Because she did know there was a video proof. So I think that she has a point because she didn't know that Kanye was going to call her a bitch and take responsibility for making her famous. Like, yes, that is correct. But she did know a part of it was happening. And so when the receipts came out, it just makes her look like this master manipulator rather than someone with pure intentions. And I think... when the documentary glossed over that instead of trying to make it clear.
Now, see, I think the documentary actually showed that, but unintentionally so. I think it kind of gave insight into the kind of machinations of her brain and how she's a little devious, mischievous. Like, you know, everything she does with a spin. She's very calculated, and I admire that about her. Truth be told. Because I think as from a pop star perspective, that's what you have to do to be successful in the industry to a certain extent.
To remain relevant. Like she's doing it. Yeah.
Right. And she's been very successful at that. But I think that the documentary kind of, in a way, subverted her intention because she actually showed how much of her persona and how much of her public life and her kind of... approach to things over the last decade or so has been so specifically like calculated and designed to get her to a certain point, which she's been successful with. So I can't be mad at it, but it did just kind of confirm some things that I always kind of felt about her.
I didn't mind that because I also enjoy that. I think so when Reputation came out, Look What You Made Me Do came out. I think that song is like low key trash. Like, especially, like, now listening back a few years later, like, it doesn't hold up very well.
Okay, but she sampled I'm Too Sexy. That's brilliant.
But it was, what she created was this huge moment. and that is what I admire, and that's what I respect. And that she did it. Like, while these other pop stars from, like, 2010 are struggling to remain relevant, Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, she did it. She did it. And so I do think she is so smart. She knows how to write a fucking song. And so the conniving part doesn't really bother me. And I mean, if we learned anything
from that,
it's something bad. But I think it's that the whole documentary still, what it just underscored to me was her own like self-serving white woman mindset.
Right.
And how like she in 2016 when the Trump election is going on and she just got embarrassed by all the Kim Kardashian drama, she can afford to like hide her head in the sand while we're out here freaking out about Trump. You know, like why everyone else out here is trying to stop him from getting into office. She is like just I don't want to be seen right now because of Kanye.
Right.
So it's just like that's what it underscored to me that like all this like privilege that she has and how she had to like fight with her dad. There's a scene where she had to fight with her dad
about
the 2018 election in Tennessee. Yeah. And it's like, girl, like Beyonce's out here like in Black Panther outfits at the Super Bowl saying Negro on national TV, calling attention to like police brutality in this huge, massive way, like literally risking her career in every possible way. And she has to have a huge fight with her dad about posting a picture on Instagram with a caption. Like, that's where it's like the disconnect is just so like it just underscores how far away removed she is from
reality. Yeah. and how
that's what like
being a white person in America, you have the privilege, you know, you're afforded the privilege of not having your entire existence politicized so you can afford to,
yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anybody among us who can just say like, oh, I don't really pay attention to politics because, you know, yeah. Us and personally, I mean, black queer people, we don't have that yes. luxury.
Yes. Yeah, we are always politicized. You think about Beyonce, she has been politicized since she started as a solo artist, maybe even before. But like Taylor Swift, or even white women in general, like don't have to be. But I think when you reach a certain like privilege point, you were just like shielded from it. And she's just like so self-absorbed. And this thing just like underscored it. And it's like hard for me to relate. And it's like her biggest problems in the documentary besides like there was one moment where she's like, like they're on the plane and her like steak is slipping as it takes off and she's like, not the steak. I'm like, this is such an unrelatable this is such an unrelatable thing to watch. Like
as she takes off on her private jet.
Yeah. Like it's just like, okay, girl, like I don't know. It's just so it didn't make me like her more. I do think it like underscored I did like the parts where it went in like the songwriting and
yeah, I think it gave some good insight as to why she is the way that she is. Yeah, it didn't make me like the yes. way that she is.
Yes.
But I mean, like, you know, I don't have to like her because ultimately it's a million of y'all bitches buying her album every week when it comes out. So y'all just going to do that anyway, I guess. With or without me.
Thinking you could live. But yeah, so, but I like the songs. I like Dancing With Her Hands Tied is still one of the best Taylor Swift songs of all time. The new album's like fine. You're a fan of Lover. I'm not. It's fine.
It's very
I like Lover. Written. I like the, what was the, Saying Goodbye is Death by a Thousand Cuts. I like that one.
That one's fine. But, ooh. I mean, there are better songs on it. Like the title track. Very well deserved a nomination for Song of the Year, even though it was her only major nomination, which is funny. Oh, this last thing about that documentary, I should not have, but I laughed when she was like all broken up about not getting any major category Grammy nominations. And she was girl. Like, I just got to make a better album. It's like, yup, that's true.
That was kind of sad to me as a person.
But I mean, like, reputation.
That her was response.
Not that girl, so.
But her response is not about, like. I don't know. Her response is not about. That her first thought is immediately, I have to be better to win this Grammy, to get this approval from this, like. of this award that doesn't really mean. Like, it means something, but it doesn't. Like, we know how the Grammy situation is all messed up and biased.
And if you so don't know about it, you can refer thought, to our last episode.
Our last podcast. But, like, her first thought is immediately, like, I need to be better, rather than thinking about, like, maybe the situation was messed up, or maybe, you know, like, I don't know. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm ever going to revisit it, but it was worth a watch once, I think, no. While I was doing something else.
Also, my last thought about Reputation... Going back, I think Reputation, I'm like less harsh on Reputation because I think she did a lot of like wild swings and there were a lot of misses, but there were also a lot of like just like incredible songs and moments on that album. And so I No, I think that album has highs and lows, but the highs on that album are better than anything on Lover. That's how I think about it in my brain. Like, I think, like, Dancing With Their Hands Tied, Dress, I Did Something Bad, Call It What You Want, New Year's Day. Like, those songs are so good because she forced herself out of her comfort zone. And, I mean, we still got...
Named, so I guess I'm not that big of a fan.
We still got Endgame. We still got Endgame, which I think was complete, like, woof, awful.
Career.
That song is embarrassing.
Yeah, she could have kept that.
I get secondhand embarrassment listening to that. Like, I think that's really catchy. But it's that big Reputation. Big Reputation. And why is Future on it? It's bad. Like, the drums sound, it just sounds like it's, like, out of 2013.
Future was on that track.
He was. And Ed Sheeran.
Oh, my God. Future was on a Taylor Swift record. Wow.
It was not good.
Yeah, delete that. Mean,
so, yeah, swings and misses. And that's why, like, her saying, I just gotta make a better album. I was like, girl, that is not. You gotta focus.
I mean, I agree, but. Okay, pause. So, from this moment forward, my audio corrupted because I'm stupid. And my voice kind of dips in and out. So, Taylor cut around some of those to make it kind of sort of sound correct, but it's a little bit rough, so I am sorry about that. I will learn and grow from this experience and be better. But for now, you'll have to go without some of my brilliant commentary, which is tragic. Back to the show. Well, our other big topic of this week, we're fresh off of Super Bowl Live, Laugh, Love. That's funny because it was like 50. What does that mean in Roman numerals? 54. 54. Super Bowl 54. It's LIV. That's a really funny joke.
Oh, is that why you said live, live, laugh, love?
Yeah, that was like a really funny joke.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I laughed. Can I do my Yolanda Adams impression?
Oh, God. Go for it.
God, indeed.
Stop, Jesus.
Love you. Love.
Please, no. Cut that out. Cut it out. We were just kidding. Don't let her hear that. The disrespect. But the accuracy.
I love that song.
I mean, you weren't too far off, to be honest.
I love Yolanda Adams. When she first started, I was like, why is she doing the national anthem again? And then it continued. And I was like, oh, she's doing Oh Beautiful. I was waiting for her to go into the big gospel moments, but she didn't. But it's fine.
I mean, she did it justice. First up was Shakira.
Shakira, talented, brilliant, incredible, amazing, show-stopping, spectacular, never the same, totally unique, completely not ever been done before, unafraid to reference or not reference, put in a blender, shit on it, vomit on it, eat it, give birth to it.
Absolutely.
Period.
Honestly, Shakira did what she had to do.
Yes. First of all, that she performed Empire.
Yeah, Empire is so underrated. So much.
Oh, I was weirdly just randomly obsessed with that song in like 2015, and I screamed when she did it.
She-Wolf, which is inarguably the best song,
and she opened with She-Wolf. Wow, what a moment! The vocals, whether they were live or not, I don't know. They were incredible. Okay, listen. Shakira did that riff over the beginning of I Like It, which was incredible. And then Bad Bunny jumped in and I screamed. And then Bad Bunny did Cayita over that like Spanish music while Shakira danced. I screamed then. He's also just so hot. And Bad Bunny, if you ever just want to like see what it's like to be with a man, like I am the man.
Watching it, that J-Lo's part felt like much more of a spectacle. But it felt like, you know, maybe Shakira got 5 minutes and J-Lo got like 8, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean,
I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, J-Lo is like this American superstar and Shakira is like, I think general Americans know Shakira from like Hips Don't Lie, you know? Whereas like, especially like, remember like that, what was that song? The Waka Waka song?
Something was like,
yeah. That song is, like, one of the biggest songs in the world. Like, it sold the most records, like, in the world internationally.
In 2010,
so it's, like, Shakira is, like, an international star. More so than J-Lo.
I definitely think Shakira is more of a worldwide name. Whereas J-Lo is just
Exactly. She didn't do Dinero, which I'm still pissed about.
Thank God for that.
Dinero, dinero, dinero.
No one listened to that
song. Soy la princesa San Juan Puerto Rico. They say money talks, but I'm talking bilingual. No?
Oh, reach out, Bad Bunny. He's bilingual.
I should be cut, though, but I don't do singles in love with the money.
Welcome to Only Stands, where Taylor shows off.
It was so good. That song slapped.
J-Lo, you know, the song Cardi that really B. got me was Waiting for Tonight on the pole. I can't listen to that song without picturing the messy lip sync of like the eight.
Wait for the- Scarlett Envy tweeted that song is still so triggering.
I honestly thought about that. Like, I was like, how funny would it be if she brought out all those season 11 girls?
Oh my god, that would be iconic.
And, you know, and people were mad. Ooh, white America was big mad about that poll.
The poll. I forget that, like,
that conservatives exist.
Yeah, I forget that people are very, like, anti women being, like, sexual in public. Because whenever I see
Adam Levine with his shirt off for 12 minutes last year.
Ugh. But when I see women in like doing like just like wearing something like sexy and like not like maybe like risque, some would say, like out in public, I'm like, yes, bitch. Whereas like there aren't people are get upset about that. And I forget. Can we talk about how political their show was? Making a statement, literally having children in stages on the field. As her and her daughter are singing about being born in the USA, and JL's holding this big-ass Puerto Rican flag. Like, oh my God. Not Hispanic, but, like, what a moment that was. And to celebrate all these, like, Latinx, like, super mega stars, and then have that kind of, like, political statement. Okay, y'all, so, first of all, go to Spotify and find our Only Stands playlist. Only Bops. The playlist. And follow it. Because like we said before at the beginning of the show, the top of the show, we have excellent taste and we're trying to share it with the world. So help yourselves by following this playlist.
And get with it or get gone.
Yeah.
There's another episode of Only Stands with Ryan, me, and Taylor, him.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram personally. I'm at Cornbread Says and he's at Lion Roared, LYANRORD.
Rar.
Yeah. We love y'all. Thanks for listening.
And stream Tusa.
Remember to stand always. Stand in your heart.
What?
If you can't stand yourself, how the hell are you going to stand anybody else?
If I can't stand myself, because that's accurate.
If you can't stand yourself, how the hell are you going to stand somebody else?
That too, I guess. Bye.
Oh.